And we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your word and you healed us, spirit, soul, and body. And your word has a name. He is the eternal word of God that dwelt with you in heaven. When you sent him to earth, you said his name shall be called Jesus. The Hebrew people call him Yeshua. Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus Christ the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Excuse me for not pronouncing that correctly. I definitely want to give credit to God. I'm not embarrassed of the fact that I make a mistake. Amen. I'm humbled enough to know that I made a mistake, but I do want to get it right because his name is worth saying right. Amen. Yes. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Messiah. So the Hebrew year 5781, year of Shin, and we have, I'm not going to go through all this again. I'm not going to, just for time's sake, you can read this. Your notes are very much so in detail. But we've learned the secret of Shin is the flame or divine revelation. And it's bound to the coal or divine essence. You cannot have divine revelation without having the presence of an almighty God living inside of you. Revelation comes through relationship. Revelation comes through relationship. That's how it comes alive inside of you. Yes. It comes alive inside of you and becomes revelation. The rhema, the written word, logos, becomes the rhema word, comes alive inside of you when the Spirit of God gives you revelation of that word. It's the divine revelation of God that is bound to the divine essence of who God is. Who is the expressed image of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the essence, the light, the expression of God. When we received him, he is known as the revelator. He is the one that was revealing himself to John on the Isle of Patmos. He is the revelator, the divine revelator of God. The revelation of the Almighty is bound to his divine presence. We spoke of fire and coal. Today we're going to speak of zeal. So I'm not going to review any of that. Go over to the second page of your notes. We're going to go down to zeal. For time's sake, we're going to go right on down to zeal. Zeal is godly fire. Every desire that we have in our heart, every prayer, every desire of God for the body of Christ, for Israel, for his people, every desire God has had, God has said, my zeal will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will bring this to pass. We're going to look at this in scripture. See, I don't have to be worried. I don't have to get all bent out of shape when I see the heathen rage. When I see them yak their mouth against God's people. When I hear them say something contrary to what God has already said that's going to happen. I can have my confidence. This message today is to help us to realize that the zeal of the Lord is going to perform it. The zeal of God is going to cause it to come to pass. You don't have to get all worked up about it because circumstances look like it's not going to happen. God said, my zeal will cause it to happen. My zeal for my word, my passion, my truth, my jealousy for my word, for truth and righteousness will cause it to happen. I'm going to prove this to us through the word. Zeal, godly fire, divine revelation bound to divine essence. Jesus demonstrated pure, passionate fire. In contrast to what we read a couple weeks ago in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 54. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to turn there. I'm going to tell you about it. You'll remember this when I start to speak about it. This godly fire we're going to speak about today that Jesus demonstrated is different than the fire his disciples wanted to call down in Luke chapter 9:54. Remember Jesus on his way to Jerusalem? He stopped by Samaria, a Samaritan village, and they would not receive him. He sent message ahead of himself that he was coming for them to prepare for his arrival, but they did not receive him. What did James and John want to do? They wanted to call down fire.
Yes.
Shall we call down? And what did Jesus say? He said, you do not know what spirit you are of. So fire can be used the fire of God, the holy fire of God can be used the wrong way, and it can be used the right way. Jesus demonstrated the way, the holy fire of God. And there is a righteous indignation. God will rise up with a righteous indignation, and God will say, that's enough. That's enough. Amen. Amen. God will do that. Okay? But it's God that does it. Yes. Not man. And something will rise up on the inside of you. And you will have a voice and you will speak out. But it will be God in you that is expressing how he feels about the situation. And you'll know the difference. And it'll bring godly change. That's how you'll know it's of God or not of God. It'll bring godly change. If it doesn't bring godly change, it was not of God. If it brings change, godly change, it was of God. Okay, look at John chapter 2. We're looking at Jesus demonstrating a pure, passionate fire. Okay? The zeal of the Lord. We've said this before. While you're turning there and find that scripture, this passion for God always brings revelation. When the passion of God is demonstrated when there's a passion for truth, when the presence of God, you can't separate the presence of God from passion. No. You can't have a passion for God without having his presence. No. You can't have a presence in your life of God without having a passion for God. Passion and presence work together always. When the presence of God is obvious, when the passion for what is right is obvious, it will bring revelation. It will bring revelation and understanding of what's going on in that situation. Let's look at this in John chapter 2. Turn there. John chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 13. Yes, John chapter 2, verse 13. Now, before I go there, I want to give you the definite, let's review. I've already given it to you in your notes, of zeal. And I hope you take time to go back and look over these notes, study them, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about them. I spent time on this for a purpose because I want us to get an understanding of where we are in time and what the Lord's doing. But go back and study them. Let the Lord speak to you. Add to this and come and share it with us. Come and share with us what the Lord showed you as you studied this out. But zeal is number 2205 in the Greek. It means heat in a favorable sense. And an unfavorable one. Now we better stop and review this. Before we get into read chapter 2, we better look at review this. It's heat in a favorable way, but in an unfavorable one. In other words, there's something in the situation that God's not favoring. But God's bringing a heat in that situation he doesn't favor because he wants it to be favorable and wants to bring a favorable change. Mm-hmm. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, look at that. Mm-hmm. Heat in a favorable sense, but it's in an unfavorable one. Mm-hmm. And we're going to read this in John chapter 2. Jesus is when he clears the temple. Mm-hmm. Now, were they in God's favor during this passage? Absolutely not. But a good thing was God. Now you understand what I'm saying. It was an unfavorable situation. But the heat of God, which is favorable, was coming upon this situation. Okay. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of what we studied when we first started studying this about a paradoxical latent. Now that's in your notes. I don't want you to turn there and look at it. I'm going to talk about it. That's a paradoxical latent. This morning, the Word of God is full of paradoxical latents because our God is a mysterious God who wants to be searched out. What's a paradox? A paradox is a statement that seems to have two ideas in it that are contradictory. Okay? That's a paradox. Two ideas. Here's a paradox. The changeless one brings change. Yep. Now, that's a paradox. Mm-hmm. How can one who never changes bring change? Mm-hmm. That's a paradox. Mm-hmm. The changeless one brings change. The changeless one lives in you, lives in me. He is. I am God, and I change not. Right?
Amen.
But yet, what is He always doing?
Changes.
He's making changes.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. Here's another paradox for you.
Mm-hmm.
To him who loses his life, gains it. Now, isn't that a paradoxical statement?
Yes.
The word is full of them, y'all. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Well, you're talking about living, you're talking about dying.
Yes. Sir.
In the same sentence. You say, y'all, the word, I'm so excited. The word of God is full of this. Search them out. Search them out. Okay, so what's a latent? A latent is something that's present, but it's not active. It's there. It's there in you, but it's not active yet. Here we go. Present but not active, hidden or concealed. Okay. Okay, come on. Come on now. John chapter 2. Let's look at this. Look at John chapter 2. Let me go back. I get excited. Let's go back to zeal. Let's go back to your definition of zeal. In an unfavorable sense, in an unfavorable one. He was not favored that day. Jesus was not favored by the religious community that day, was he?
No.
But yet the heat of God in him is very favorable.
Yes.
You got it? Jealousy as of a husband. That's a figure of God. God says, I'm a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. And he is jealous for our good. Right?
Right.
Okay. Jealousy as of a husband or an enemy, malice or indignation. There's such a thing as a holy indignation. Something rises up inside of you. Oh, it just rises up.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. It's like the Word of God says, am I going to have a witness? Is God going to have a witness?
Yes.
Okay. And it comes from 2204 in the Greek, to be hot, to boil of liquids or glow. Remember that? Back in the 70s, the Women's Aglow ministry.
Yes.
Okay. Women's Aglow. Okay. Yeah. To be hot, to boil of liquids or glow, to boil and of solids, to glow, to boil liquids or solids, to be earnest or to be fervent. To be fervent, red hot. God wants us red hot, fervent with the passion. Now let's look at John chapter 2. And you're going to find out what I'm talking about. Ready? Mm-hmm. Starting at verse where did we say it was?
13.
Now the Passover of the Jews was approaching, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There he found in the temple enclosure those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers sitting there also at their stands. And having made a lash, a whip of cords, he made it.
That means he had to sit there and do it.
That's correct. It wasn't nearby for him to pick up and start using. He had to spend all that time. I know you've heard this before. He spent that time making it. So while he was spending that time making it, he was all God and all man. He was bringing his emotions, his feelings, because he had feelings just like us of anger. He was bringing them under God's control. Amen. He wasn't quick.
No.
He didn't react. He responded.
Mm-hmm.
Be angry but sin not. How do you do that?
Mm.
How do you be angry but sin not? You are angry but sin not when your actions don't violate God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're angry and sin not. When your actions don't, you're not attacking the person, you're attacking the situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. When you attack the person, you have sinned because you are angry and you sinned because you attacked the person. Jesus did not attack the people. He attacked the action. Look.
Oh, thank you.
And having made a lash or a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple enclosure, both the sheep and the oxen, spilling and scattering the broker's money and upsetting and tossing around their trays, their stands. Then to those who sold the doves, he said, take these things out, away from here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, a marketplace, a sale shop. I mean, from the Amplified. Then his disciples remembered. Okay, did you get that? The passion of God was demonstrated. And then what happens? They got revelation.
Yes.
The passion of God was demonstrated when he did these things, when he drove them out. Then revelation came. His disciples remembered that it was written. They got revelation. They had heard the word, but then it came alive, and then they had a demonstration. They had a revelation. Oh, this is what the scripture means. His disciples remembered what was written in the Holy Scriptures. Zeal, the fervor of love for your house will eat me up. I am consumed with zeal for the house of the Lord, some translations say. I will be consumed with jealousy for the honor of your house. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this is our blessing for the week. You are the house. You put your hand on yourself. You are the house of God. Are we consumed with jealousy for this temple? That is our blessing for this week. I, Lord God, I, by the power of your Holy Spirit, am consumed with the fervor of love. I am consumed with jealousy for the honor of your house. Your temple right here, God. That your temple will only be where it's supposed to be. Your temple will only do what it's supposed to do. Your temple will make the right decisions in every circumstance. That your temple, this temple will be a house of your praise and your worship. Not a house of cursing and not a house of division, but a house of worship. I am zealous for your house, God. You are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation says, I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure. That's our blessing. God, I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep this house pure. To keep my temple pure in everything, God. I will not separate anything in this world. I will not put this in a category over here and your word in a category over here. But God, everything in my life, this temple is consumed with a passion for your word and for a passion for purity. Amen?
Amen.
Then here we go. So that was divine revelation came to the disciples, right? But that's not all that happened. Then the Jews retorted. Okay, see this? Unfavorable one. The favor of God is on him to do this.
Uh-huh.
To clean up this house.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The heat of God. But here, he is demonstrating himself as an unfavorable one. There's a paradoxical latent. Something inside of him rose up, y'all. That's the latent. It was present in him, but something had to activate it.
Uh-huh.
Something activated his passion. Do you see that? Everybody's passionate about something.
Right.
Something's going to activate your passion. But we have to make sure our passion, that what we have on the inside is right. Because if it's not right, something will happen that will activate something on the inside of you.
Yes.
And if what's on the inside of you is not a true holy passion for God, then you're going to come across a situation like I did yesterday at the grocery store where something's going to get activated inside of you.
Like your passion for
something's going to get activated inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
It was latent in Christ.
Yes.
It was in there.
Yes.
But what he saw activated in the zeal of God. He was consumed with the zeal of the Lord because it had already been prophesied through the prophet Isaiah about him. And when he acted on this passion that he had, it was there. But see, nothing stirred up that passion until he saw the injustice.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw the injustice and the unrighteousness of people, that stirred up the passion, the fire, the holy fire of God inside him. And what did he do? Oh, well, let somebody else solve that. That's somebody else's problem. No, he took action.
Yes.
He did something. And he didn't hurt the people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He attacked the situation. Okay, he responded. He didn't react. He responded. That was holy anger. Okay, but see, here we see now. Here's something else that got activated. Something else is getting activated here in this passage too, and it reveals what's in them. Look at this. Then the Jews retorted, "What sign can you show us seeing you have done these things? What sign, what miracle, what token, what indication can you give us as evidence that you have the authority and you are commissioned to act in this way? See, something got activated in them. It revealed what was in their heart. Jesus answered them and said, here comes a revelation. Here comes a revelation. But they didn't get it. They used it against him. But look who got it. Then Jesus answered him, destroy, undo this temple. They asked for a sign. He's giving it to them. Destroy, undo this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up again. Then the Jews replied, it took 46 years to build this temple, this sanctuary, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he had spoken of the temple, which was his body. When therefore he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. The Logos became the Rhema. Revelation. When he had risen from the dead, see, something activated the revelation. His disciples remembered that he said this. So they believed and trusted and relied on the scripture and the word, the message Jesus had spoken. See, they already knew the word. Look at that. It's Psalm 16:10. Hold your place there and go to Psalm 16:10. See, it was already the written word, but it became revelation when Jesus did it. When the power of the Holy Spirit did it.
Yes.
You see, it got activated. It got activated when the power of the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. But it was already scripture and they knew it. Psalm 16:10. So see, that's what I'm trying to say here. That's what I'm trying to say here. Something activates the passion of God. It was the passion of God that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
It was the passion of God. He says, I will not allow my Holy One to see corruption or the place of the dead. I won't allow it, God said. God said, I won't allow it. And not a bone in your body will be broken. I won't allow it, God said. The zeal of the Lord performed it. Performed this. Okay. Look, here we go. Psalm 16. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. So see, this scripture, they knew. These guys, they knew the scrolls, the scriptures, they knew the writings of the prophets. They had to know it. See, that's why being in the Word of God is so important, saints. Because you read it, you read the Word of God, and because it's in you, it gets activated. Revelation comes and it gets activated and comes alive to you. But if you don't have it in you, then you don't have anything to come get activated. Nothing can get activated in you if it's not in you. And that's why when it becomes a rhema word, when you've got the Word of God in you, and you come up with someone who has a need, and you'll hear the word, you'll hear Holy Spirit bring that word up within you. That is the rhema word for them. That is the word of the Lord for them. Yes. It's like the man that was sitting in a hospital bed. He knew that scripture where David said, my heart is fixed, oh God. David was saying, my heart is confident in you, God. But he was laying in bed in the hospital, and he heard the word of God, got activated inside of him, and he was having heart issues. He was there because of a heart attack. But he was laying there in the bed, and he heard the word of the Lord. Lord, my heart is fixed. See, that word was already in him because he knew it from the Psalms. But he heard that rhema word. It became a revelation. It got activated inside of him. He rose up and got healed from that bed. God healed him, raised him up from that heart condition. Went home.
Amen.
Home. Not home to the Lord, but home to his house. His earthly home. Amen, ma'am.
Remember when you came to the hospital? And you said, Carolyn, what do you want us to pray? To pray the prayer of thanksgiving. That's what God gave me.
Amen.
And I told you, I said, Kathy, God told me, this sickness is not unto death.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That was the rhema. And see, that's a scripture. That what you just said is a scripture too. Amen. Because Jesus quoted that over someone who was getting ready to heal. Yes, he did. Amen. Okay, so we see something got activated here for righteousness and something got activated for unrighteousness. Whatever is in us is going to get activated. That's why it's so careful. We have to be so careful. What we allow to go inside of us and digest. We have to keep this temple pure. John 2:17, our blessing. Lord, I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure. I am the house, the temple of God, and by the keeping of his commandments brings light and purity into our life. You know what? You want to prove that? Read Psalms 119. By the your ordinances, God, your statutes, God, have kept me pure and right before you. Oh, goodness, I wish I had the New Living Translation, but I didn't have it today. But it says, it's okay, I don't remember exactly where it's found there anyway, but it says, Lord, you have you've kept me well. It says, Lord, you've taught me well. You have taught me well. I was like, oh, Lord, that is beautiful. Lord, you have taught me well. You have taught me well, Lord. Glory to God, you have taught me well. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go on to Isaiah 9. Let's go on to Isaiah 9, verse 7. I'm going to get to Miss Dolores's, one of her favorite chapters in the Word of God. Isaiah, one of her favorite books in the Word of God. Isaiah. Look at this. This is so beautiful. Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to have to start a little bit more of this to get us the full picture. I'm not going to, I just can't start there at that one verse. We're going to have to go back a little bit to verse 1 because there's so much in here that will bless you. But before I do that, look at your definition of zeal. Zeal here in the Hebrew, it comes from some of 7068. It comes from 7065. To cause, to be, to make zealous, in a bad sense, to be moved or to be provoked. And it comes from the original word, 7068, means jealous or envy. God is a jealous God. That is another definition of zeal. This passion, the year of Shin, the year of the fire of God, the flames you see here, the flaming revelations from the fiery essence of who God is zeal. It's the zeal of God that will perform this. Now, if this doesn't bless you, what we're about to read in Isaiah, I'll have to pray for your blesser. I'm going to have to pray for your blesser. This doesn't bless you. Okay. I wrote here in my Bible this morning, America 2020, chapter 9. Look at this. But in the midst of the judgment, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance. Yes, God is a just and a righteous God. He has to deal with sin. But look at how wonderful our God is. Can I just tell you how wonderful our God is? Can I tell you how merciful He is? How kind and full of compassion He is. He's a God of more than a second chance. He's a God of more than a second chance. Look at this. He says, but in the midst of judgment, there is the promise. Yes. And the certainty of the Lord's deliverance. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. There shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Glory to God. There shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. I'm going to tell you, if you're a righteous believer in this country, you have had to have been in anguish. You have had to have been in anguish. Your soul has had to anguish over the things you have seen, over the things you have heard, over the things that have been done. Yes. But God says, there shall be no more gloom for her who was past tense. In anguish. Woo! Glory to God. That's worth it all today. I'm glad I came to church this morning just for that. I'm glad I came to church this morning just for that. Now keep on. Come on, guys. You've got to read it all. Nine is in your notes. Chapter 9, verse 1. Isaiah 9, verse 1. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he shall make it glorious by the way of the Sea of Galilee, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined, uppercase L. The light has shined. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod of goading their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as in the days of Gideon with Midian. For every trampling warrior's war boots and his armor in the battle turmoil, and every garment rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall, glory to God, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from the latter time forth, even furthermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I say to every demon, I say to every demonic activity that's come against God's people, that's come against the righteousness and the birth of this nation in a holy fire, the zeal of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Son of mighty in battle, shall perform this, and he shall turn this thing around for the glory and the honor of his Son. To God. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about what they say is going to happen and what they say is not going to happen, because the zeal of the Lord has made a promise to God's people. Glory to God.
I'm going to seal it.
And his fire is going to perform it. His fire. Isaiah 59, as if that was enough. Not enough. Not, but go to Isaiah 37. Come on. Well, I'm talking to you about the zeal of the Lord. I'm talking to you about the zeal of the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 37. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The zeal of the Lord. Come on, it gets even better. Come on. 37, start at verse 21. Isaiah 37, starting at verse 21. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, who represents everything evil and vile in the eyes of God Almighty, King of Assyria. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him, concerning Sennacherib. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind you. Whom have you mocked and reviled, insulted and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and hardly lifted your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants you have mocked, you have reproached, you have insulted, and you have defiled the Lord. And you have said, 'With my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountains, to the inner recesses of Lebanon. I cut down the tallest cedars and its choicest cypress. I came to the remotest height its most luxurious and defense forest. I dug wells and drank foreign waters with the soles of my feet. I have dried up the river, the Nile, streams of Egypt. But, says the Lord God of Israel, have you not heard that I have purposed to do it long ago? I have planned it in an ancient time. Now I have brought it to pass. That you, king of Assyria, should be my instrument to lay waste fortified cities, making them ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and they were confounded. They were like the grass of the field and like the green herb, like the grass on the housetops and like the grain of the field of grain, blasted before it's grown or in its stalks. But I, the Lord, know you're sitting down, and you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. But I, the Lord God, know you're sitting down, you're coming forth, and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me, and your arrogance, and the careless ease has come to my ears, therefore will I put my hook. Therefore will I put my hook in your nose, and my bridle in your lips. And I will turn you back by the way you came. And now Hezekiah, who represents the church, who represents the righteous. And now Hezekiah says, the Lord God, glory. And now Hezekiah says, the Lord, this shall be a sign of these things to you. Yes. You shall eat this year what grows of itself. Yes. And in the second year that which springs from the same. And in the third year sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Yes. And the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward. And bear fruit upward.
Lord,
for out of Jerusalem will come forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion. That's the church, Mount Zion. It's the church. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city or shoot an arrow here or come before it with shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he shall return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for sake of my servant David. And the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the living rose early in the morning, behold, all these they found all these dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adaramlech and Sharezez, his son, killed him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenian, or Ararat. And Asarashan, his son, reigned in his stead. For the zeal of the Lord of the hosts shall perform this. The remnant shall take root down and bring fruit up. The remnant that has survived the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm telling you, our God is a zealous, he's a fiery heart. And God says, what has come out of my mouth, I will perform. He says to the enemy, have you not heard that I know, verse 28, but I, the Lord, know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. It's been against me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm talking about the zeal of the Lord. Isaiah 59, keep on going. Isaiah 59:17. I'm talking to you about the zeal of the Lord that will perform these things. You get a promise from God. You get in God's word. You know God has spoken to you a promise. You can look the enemy straight in the situation. And you can say the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts of God shall perform this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 59:17. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to verse 14. Let's start at verse 14. 59:14. Justice is turned away backward, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stands far off. For truth has fallen in the street, the city's forum. God, this is like that, isn't that like it is? It's like the streets have become the forum for the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, in some respects. Thank God that the righteous are getting out there too and making it a righteous forum, taking back the streets. Justice is turned away backward, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, the city's forum, and uprightness cannot enter the courts. Cannot enter the courts of justice. Yes, truth is lacking. Now, is this not America? In the courts? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice.
Yes.
He saw that there was no man, and wondered why there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right.
Mm.
Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. For the Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate or coat of mail, and salvation as a helmet upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal, the furious divine jealousy as a cloak.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now I'm going to tell you something. I've heard this scripture for a long time, but I sense it within me, that God's about to clothe himself with a form of jealousy that the world is going to know, that the world is going to recognize. God said, I looked for someone who loved justice. I looked for a man. A wonder there is no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and light, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and light. Therefore, his own arm brought victory, and his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure. For the Lord our God put on righteousness as a breastplate or a coat of mail, and the helmet, salvation is a helmet upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance. I'm telling you, he's clothed right now with garments of vengeance, and clad himself with garments of vengeance, with zeal and furious divine jealousy. And the righteous zeal of God is going to perform these things. The righteous zeal of God is going to turn back justice and righteousness in this nation. And justice and righteousness will be what will be established in our courts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Justice will no longer be turned backward, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God will no longer stand off.
Yes.
For truth will no longer be fallen in the streets, but truth will be spoken in the streets and upheld in the streets. And righteousness will enter the courts of the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-mm. And no longer will the one who speaks the truth be made a prey for evil.
Amen.
The Lord says, I see it,
Hallelujah. And
I was displeased with these things. And so I am going to put on righteousness. I have already put it on. Actually, the Lord's already put on. This was prophecy. The Lord, see, it's like the Lord showed you this morning, Nancy. We should be in a place where we're not resisting the enemy. We're conquering him. We're not resisting him. He's already conquered. So we're enforcing the victory.
Yes.
Because Jesus already did this. He already put on righteousness as a breastplate or a coat of mail. He already put helmet as a salvation on his head. He has already clothed himself with garments of vengeance. And with a furious divine jealousy as a cloak. He's already covered himself with these things. He's already done it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform these things. I'm telling you.
Conqueror.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts. This is my declaration concerning America. Justice is not turned backward. And righteousness and right standing with God does not stand far off. It is very close. And it is acted on. And it is portrayed. And it becomes the law of the land. Truth is not fallen in the streets.
Amen.
And righteousness will enter, will dwell in the courts of justice. Righteousness will dwell in the courts of justice. Glory to God. And no longer will the one who stands for righteousness be made a prey. Because the Lord said, I've seen it, and it displeased me.
Yes.
The Lord said, I've seen it, and it displeased me.
Yes.
And I wonder why no one spoke up. I wonder why there's no one who would speak up, who would intervene on behalf of truth and what was right. So God said, I did it myself. I did it myself. I sent my son and I did it myself. I armed him with victory. And his arm brought the victory. And his own righteousness, having the Spirit of God without measure, sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate or coat of mail. And salvation as a helmet upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing. And was clad with zeal. The fierce divine jealousy as a cloak. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He brought justice by his own right arm. By his own right arm, he did it. Isaiah 63. Go on to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and see from your dwelling place of your holiness and your glory. Where are your zeal? And your jealous and your mighty acts, which you formerly did for your people. Your yearning pity and the multitude of compassion of your heart are restrained and withheld from me. Look down, God, from heaven and see from the dwelling place of your holiness and your glory. Where are God? Look, that means that Isaiah is saying, God, where is it? I want to see it. I want to see your jealous and your mighty acts which you formerly did for your people. I want to see your zealousy. Oh, God, that's where I am right now. Lord, I want to see this zealousness that you have for America. I want to see this zealousness that you have for righteousness and truth. Oh, God, from your holy habitation, where you are holy and you see all things and you know all things, God, bear your right arm. You have already clothed yourself with vengeance like a garment. Now, God, I want to see your zealous acts. I want to see that you are jealous for America. I want to see you demonstrate it, God. I want to see, God, what you said when you said, Lord, that I know everything about it. I know you sent a cherub. I know your evilness. I know what you're doing, what you're planning. But have you not heard? I know where you sit. I know where you live. I know everything about you. And I, the Lord God, am going to bear my right arm. And I am going to show that I am zealous for my remnant. That I am zealous for Israel. And I'm going to demonstrate my zealousness for my people. And the remnant that has survived, glory to God, will take root downward and they will bear fruit upward. And you will see the fruit and the demonstration of the work of Holy Spirit in this land. You will see the demonstration and the work of Holy Spirit in this land. Because only God can do it.
Oh yeah.
Only God can do it. But He will do it. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this.
Yes.
The zeal of the Lord God Almighty shall perform this and shall bring it to pass. The same zeal that brought him to earth. The same zeal that Isaiah prophesied everything. God loves righteousness. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. The very foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Yes. God loves what is right, and God loves justice. But see, God is the only God, when He bears His right arm for vengeance, He is the only one that can do it in such a way that it brings healing.
Yes.
He's the only one that brings a good fire
He brings a favorable fire from an unfavorable one.
Yes.
Yes, a favorable fire, a favorable change from one, from an unfavorable one.
Yes.
Who's not going to be, he's not unfavorable to all of us. But it will be unfavorable to some. Because that day, when the Lord demonstrates his zeal for our country, when the Lord or has already started to demonstrate his zeal, he has already started to demonstrate his zeal for America. There are going to be those. There are going to be those. That is just like we just read in John chapter 2. There's going to be those. This is an unfavorable thing. They're going to question authority. I'm telling you right now, they're going to question authority. They're going to say, by what authority do you do this or that or that? But the zeal of the Lord of hosts, and there will come forth revelation, and but the zeal of the Lord of the hosts shall perform this, and God will do it anyway. And God is not moved. He is not shaken.
Mm-mm.
He is not shaken. He is not moved by what he knows the wicked are going to do. That does not move God, because I'm telling you, when the fire of God, the holy fire, the zeal of God is demonstrated, it will get hot. It will get heated. It will get hot. It will be like in John chapter 2, when God starts to clean up some stuff, when God starts to clean up some situations and some things, it's going to be cleaning up. It's going to be a burning. But the zeal of the Lord of hosts, God is consumed. God is consumed for his house. God has a jealousy for America. God has a red, hot, fiery jealousy for America. So what does that mean? What does it have to do with us? It has everything to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, John chapter 2, 17, need to keep this sanctuary pure.
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep it pure so I can hear God. So I can hear and hear his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And I, just like what we just read, personally, this is the cry of my heart. I don't want the Lord to have to look any further and say, I wonder why there wasn't an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
That goes right along with our blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of our blessing too. That I just read it, where the Lord said, Isaiah 59:17, I wonder why there was not someone who loved justice and truth. I do not want the Lord to look at me and wonder, why didn't you love justice and truth? Why didn't you love what was right in my eyes and favorable in my eyes, to the point that you intercede, that it bothered you, it troubled you, to the point that you prayed? I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, I wonder why you did nothing. I wonder why you didn't ask me. I wonder why you didn't pray. I wonder why your actions didn't portray that you loved what was righteous and you loved what was justice. That's the other part, Carolyn. Psalms 59:16. And he saw there was no one, no man who wondered that there was no intercessor. No one who intervened on behalf of truth and right. God, I don't want God to have to wonder that about me. I want to be the intercessor that loves what is truth and what is light. And I want God, I want the Lord to use me as an intercessor, to intervene on behalf of truth and right, because he wants to bring victory. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. Now, Jesus has a Spirit without measure. I have the Spirit with measure.
Mm-hmm.
Having the Spirit with measure is better than having the Spirit without at all.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Uh-huh. Amen?
Amen. You can do a lot with the Spirit, with a measure of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why do you say that, Kathy? Because you've been given an earnest portion, a down payment. You've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But an earnest portion, a down payment, is enough. It's a secure deposit. It's earnest portion and a down payment. It's a secure deposit on your life, that you have enough of the power. We have enough of the power of the Holy Spirit within us to get the job done.
Amen.
We have enough of his presence in us. All of his presence in us. All of who he is in us. But he had the Holy Spirit without measure. Without measure. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit in you with measure is enough to intercede for what is right and justice. For what is to be done right in our nation. To intercede and go before God on behalf of our nation.
Kim Copeland, prophecy. was given, it'll be a year ago, a year almost. It was done where we're going to go in Virginia. But it was New Visions, Manifest Power, a Great Change.
Wow.
So when you were preaching, I remember, Lord reminded me of that, so I had to go make sure I had it right. But I knew it was Great Change, Manifested Power, but New Vision.
New
that
vision.
Word was, I mean, the word was so spot on. Which we know the word is spot on.
Amen. Amen.
My spirit was stirring so bad, I was about to burst. But not to say this, but just to...
I understand.
Of God, when you
the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord's going to do this.
It's powerful.
So don't be moved by what you see.
It was prophecy.
Yes, yes. The zeal. Amen. The zeal.
We shouldn't be moved by what we see because the zeal, another key word in there can be exposure. The zeal of the Lord exposes.
Mm-hmm.
And when it exposes, don't be moved by what you see because the fire exposed it.
That's right. That is right.
But the fire also brings healing.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So it goes back to that word that you said at the beginning, that P word,
mm-hmm.
when you got the... It
paradoxical.
Exposes, yeah. But yet it heals.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is the fire of God has mm-hmm. been here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was slow. That's how fire begins. It's slow. And we started seeing exposure. And then we didn't mm-hmm. see anything. And then we would get a little bit trouble. But then mm-hmm. we see. And right now, it's at a high
right.
point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's where you're in the mountains on that chilly night. And if we put the fire on. And it's not like it was at 5 or 6 o'clock when we started. Now it's at 9 and 10 o'clock.
That's
and we're sitting
high.
Around and we're talking. And that flame's just a going. It's not go over there and poke it anymore. It's not put another log
no.
on. It's burning.
Glory to
it's
God.
It's burning.
Glory to God. It's flaming hot.
Woo!
The zeal of
it's
the Lord.
Flaming hot.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this.
Shall perform it.
And God has a remnant.
Yes.
God has a remnant. He has a band of believers.
Thank you, Jesus.
He has a remnant, a band of believers.
Ooh,
the Lord says, this year they shall take root down in the earth and they shall bear fruit upward.
And I know
glory
we're part of it,
God.
But I just really want to thank the Lord for His remnant. I have done that many times throughout this last year. In our nation, thanking God that while the rest of us needfully go to work, etc., we have had brethren in this land that their faith was always set
thank
before
you, Lord.
God. And one of them, a man that a woman came and said to him, the Lord has said
mm-hmm.
for him to not go to work anymore.
Wow.
She was going to pay his salary.
Wow.
So that he could set his faith before the Lord. He is one of our, many people don't even know him, and that's what's great. Now has still paid his salary.
Mm.
So my that he can set his faith. And I thank my Father so many days for that part of that remnant.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Glory to God. Because God does hear. He does know.
Yes.
He does know. The wicked, if you read in the book of Psalms, the wicked say, God doesn't know. God doesn't see what I'm doing. God doesn't care. But God says, yes, I do know. I do see.
Yes.
I know where you sit.
Oh, my God.
I know where you sit.
Oh, that's
once
the picture
again.
Of Zebulun and his brother. Because thank God for her faithfulness.
Oh, well,
that
she
did
out.
What God told her to do.
Yes.
And she never lacked sending him his paycheck. Every week,
that.
Every month.
Wow.
She's Zebulun, and he's a brother.
That's right.
His face before the Lord.
That's right.
Oh,
what we studied,
Father.
That's right.
Woo!
The Lord says, I know you're sitting down, you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. It's been against me.
Yes.
Because you're raging against me, and your arrogance and careless ease have come to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose, and I will put my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back the way you came.
You've been prophesying over my whole life through this teaching.
But now, Hezekiah says the Lord, this shall be a sign of these things to you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself, and in the second year that which springs from the same. And the third year sow and reap, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion. The church is a type of Mount Zion. Yeah. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Wow.
Woo! And angelic forces fighting for us. Angelic forces. Go down. Sennacherib. Go down. Where he says, and the angel of the Lord sent forth and blew and slew 184,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the living arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead bodies. The Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies, is fighting. They are already yes. positioned. They are already positioned. They are ahead of any attack, the enemy. They are ahead of any attack, the enemy. The enemy has in place. They are held.
Thank you for your word.
The angel of the Lord went forth and slew. Glory to God.
Thank you for your word, Father.
They are already positioned. The angel of the Lord has commanded his angels, his warring angels, and they are already positioned. I am not worried at all. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not worried at all about November the 3rd. I'm not worried about if there's going to be a peaceful transition or there's not going to be a transition at all. I'm not worried about riots and all that, because the angel of the Lord has already positioned the warring angels. And it will not be good for those that contend against the plan of God. Yes. Just like it was with Sennacherib. God said, I'll put a hook in your nose.
Yeah.
I will put a hook in your nose and a bridle on your mouth, and I will lead you back from the way you came. It is time. That's right. And this is serious.
Yes.
This is about righteousness. It is about what we just read here. About God says, in the middle of judgment, I will do what? Come on, let's read again. Let's go back and let's read again. Is this what we want? Let's go to Isaiah 9:7. Is this what we want, believers? Is this what we want right here? This is what I want. Let's go back to it. Isaiah chapter 9. In the midst of judgment, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance. And there shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the midst of judgment, there is the promise and certainty of the Lord's deliverance. And the Lord of hosts shall perform this. I'm getting on God's side and I'm staying there.
Yeah.
I'm on God's side. I've already been on that side. It's like when Joshua saw the angel of the Lord and Joshua said, are you for us or against us? And just bear with my paraphrase. Jack, it don't matter. It's not if I'm for you or against you. Whose side are you on, Joshua?
Yes.
You better not be more concerned if God's for you or against you. You better be concerned that you're on God's side.
Yes.
That's what we need to be concerned about.
Yes.
It's not a matter, is God for me or against me? Am I for you, God, or am I against you? I am for God. And my decisions that I make are based on God's word, that I am for God, and I am for righteousness,
amen,
and I am for truth, because the foundation of his throne, where he stands, y'all, the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I can't make it any more clear. Amen. But I thank you, Lord. I praise you today, Lord. I praise you today, Lord, that your zeal, your fiery, hot passion for your people shall perform this, God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this.
Yes, Lord.
I praise you for that today, Father. I praise you for that today, Father.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.